Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, June 18th, 2018, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 73, starting with the third paragraph, which begins, "Psychologists are inclined to agree, reading through and commenting on three paragraphs ending with, but always considerate of others." Today's readers are Maggie A. for the 12 Steps, Brandy M. for the 12 Traditions, Kathleen O., Ginger C., and Marie J. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, which was the special edition meeting on Sunday, June 17th, is 11548. And the special edition, the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, I believe, is 11549, and I am double-checking on that for Monday, June 18th, 2018, and I'll let you know if that changes. So 11549 for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And just a last minute update, the reference ID for this morning's meeting, Monday, June 18, 2018, is 11550. That's 11,550. Thank you. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Maggie A. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Maggie A., recovered in Springwater, New York. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me service. My pass.
Thank you very much, Maggie A. I'll now ask Brandy M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. The 12 traditions, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God who sees me express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 73, starting with the third paragraph and reading through three paragraphs. And I will now ask Kathleen O. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us. We have spent thousands of dollars for examinations. We know but a few instances where we have given these doctors a fair break. We have seldom told them the whole truth, nor have we followed their advice. Unwilling to be honest with these sympathetic men, we were honest with no one else. Small wonder many in the medical profession have a low opinion of alcoholics and their chance for recovery. We must be entirely honest with someone if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. Those of us belonging to a religious denomination which requires confession must, and of course, will want to go to the properly appointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. We often find such a person quick to see and understand our problem. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. If we cannot or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a close-mouthed, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of our own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or parents which will hurt them and make them unhappy. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand, yet be unaffected. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. And this is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Oh, this is packed, these three paragraphs. So we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. And it isn't saying partial honesty or mostly honest. It's saying entirely honest. So rigorous honesty. And honesty is non-negotiable. You know, this is saying must. Not maybe, not suggested, must. So necessary, essential, that we do this. And, you know, the word must, when I started reading the Big Book, my sponsor asked me to highlight every must. And there's three in these paragraphs that we read. Excuse me. And I think must is mentioned 89 times in the Big Book. But when I got to this step, I thought it was extreme, you know, but addiction is extreme too. Step four required courage and humility, but step five demands even more strength and courage. To admit the precise nature of my wrongs, my faults, harms done to others, to myself, was really quite sobering. And admitting them to a higher power wasn't so difficult for me. But admitting all of this to another person, I mean, that brought up a lot of fear for me. So, you know, and the step was exceptionally difficult because it did bring up a lot of fear. You know, I felt like, wasn't it better just to keep the past buried? But then I heard that saying, we're only as sick as our secrets. And I was suffering from fear, bewilderment, frustration, and despair, and not to mention isolation. And I didn't want to die a slow death in the food. So I really needed to approach this process with an open heart. And this was a method to rid myself of self-pity and learn to overcome fear, to open my heart to another and learn how to accept help. So trust was crucial. And having someone listen with compassion and love, which is, I had my sponsor and I felt both compassion and love from her. I didn't feel judged, and that was what I had feared. So it was really nice to not feel judged. And I was actually able to let go of anger, shame, and regret. So this step really brought about phenomenal results when I revealed the memories that tormented me. But I had to be brutally honest and vulnerable. So although this step wasn't easy, I really did feel amazing afterwards. It can be incredibly tough, but it can also be incredibly rewarding. And, you know, I wanted to live that long and happy life. So, you know, I took the step with my sponsor, and she'd taken many fifth steps and done her own fifth step. And, you know, either related to or I mean, I didn't have any surprises that hadn't been done before. And so, you know, this is, and talking to my sponsor was helpful because I needed the feedback I received from her. And truly a huge weight was lifted. You know, step five is a real smashing of the ego. I was and continue to be humbled by step five, and it initiates the change in how we think, act, and feel. We do have seven more steps to go, but this is a program of depth and weight. And, you know, if we dig deep enough, we can physically let go of the weight, and mentally we can rid ourselves of that weight that we carry between our ears. And, you know, it's a step to just dive into and trust, and you'll find you get amazing results. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Who would like to comment on these three paragraphs?
Marie J.
I thought I heard somebody else, but I didn't get the name.
Kathy G.
Kathy G.
Sherry KB.
Ginger C.
Sherry KB and Ginger C. Anyone else? Well, that's a great start. We'll have Marie J., Kathy G., Sherry KB, and Ginger C. Please go ahead, Marie J.
Hi, thanks. This is Marie J., recovered in Colorado and driving through Nebraska. The notion of being honest, you know, we must be honest, and we have to trust this path. You know, it's essential to believe in this path to recovery, because this fifth step is really hard, because this notion of honesty it gets more and more complicated, and I get more and more visibility into it as my recovery grows. So, you know, I always thought that I was doing my best to be honest in my fifth step I've done it. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Nope, I hear you now. Yep. Thanks. Sorry.
Okay. If I clip out again, I'll just drop off because we're driving. So, you know, I believe that I've been, you know, done my best to be honest in my fifth step, but my capacity to become more and more honest grows as I grow in recovery. and especially the honesty with myself, because I can't share it with somebody else until I can be honest myself. And I have to be able to see the subtle ways that I still try to grab control. You know, I still see the subtle movement of my ego and of my disease and trying to control others. And it comes up a lot. You know, I talk about my relationship all the time, my relationship with my husband. And even though over the course of my being in recovery, our marriage has come a long way and we both have grown, and I rarely exhibit those ugly, demanding, and self-righteous behaviors with him, but I have to stay rigorously honest with myself and to be able to share it with others, other fellows, because my character defect of control always comes up. And I'm always going to be an addict. I'm always going to have this disease. And so I'm always going to be in that mode of, I think I can control you because I'm right. So I have to constantly be surrendering this work and my character defect of control over to higher power. And the honesty piece comes in because I can always just stay on guard looking for the ways that my ego wants to run the show and asking guidance from higher power every day so that I don't live in my disease, but I live in that honesty. And I need my fellows to help me. You know, I can't always see this on my own. And that's what this step is about. It's about having enough humility and trust to expose myself vulnerably to another person. And also to find acceptance and love for myself, even though I'm possessed of imperfections. I'm possessed of shortcomings. So this is about trusting God with skin on, the human beings in this fellowship. And if I'm on the other side and I'm listening to somebody's fifth step, always remembering to show up in kindness and tolerance and also being trustworthy enough to hear someone else's fifth step. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Marie J. Kathy G., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
All right. Good morning. Thanks so much, Elaine. Appreciate your service this morning. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the newcomers. And grateful to be here today. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. And I just really want to focus on one line this morning, and it's the last line. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. And as I was thinking back this morning, listening to the meetings, I remembered my very first fourth step, which I think it took something like 8 hours. It was just a complete marathon. There was so much back there. And then I jumped to my second one years later on a park bench in Chicago. And then my third one dealing with, you know, another program I was in a Starbucks. And then I went to my one with Vision that I did, and I was sitting up in my bed, and it was so different because I was just focusing on my part and how I got the ball rolling in harming these people that were on my list. And it really changed things for me. And just the way that my sponsor sponsored me was she had me do this column where I listed all of my defects that were linked into what was my part in harming these people. And all I did with this sponsor was I went through this list and I just read through every defect linked with every single thing on every line I had written down. And it was like a spiritual experience for me. It might even sound peculiar, but I remember sitting there reading line after line after line of defect, and all of a sudden I was crying so hard that I could barely speak. There were these huge pauses in between with me just crying, because I saw the depth of my own responsibility in these resentments, in these harms, and it was unbelievable to me. And it has changed everything for me, because the focus is now on what am I contributing to a situation when I go into it? How could I potentially be harming someone? I was talking with my sponsee this morning, and it was on page 57. It says, when we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. And that's what I feel like God did to me. He disclosed himself to me on a deeper level when I was willing to see the depth of my character defects. So I'm so grateful to be getting free from them today and to live in this freedom today. And I just urge you to just keep showing up, because God will continue to reveal himself as we seek him further. So have a great day, everyone. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Ginger C.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. I'll just dive right in here. When I think about psychologists, some therapists that I'd seen and talked to through the years and read all the self-help books I could get my hands on and took every seminar I could think of, it was a crust for me between being, you know, not being entirely honest, as it tells me I need to be with these people, and denial. And I love acronyms, and denial is don't even know I'm lying. Because I was lying to myself. I didn't know a lot about, you know, certain things. And until I got into this book, and I mean, I've done a lot of four steps through various ways and whatnot, but doing the work this way, in this particular book, this way, looking at that invisible fourth column, you know, getting entirely honest, you know, it has changed my life. Who would have thought by me really looking at my part would change my life so much for the better? There was so much fear involved in that in the past, but you know what? The living long in this world and feeling more happier outran the fear for me. And it says here that we are, you know, we must think well before we choose a person or persons. And it's giving us precise directions here. It's telling us, you know, be careful who you choose. Make sure that they understand and that they can, you can take this confidential and intimate step with this person or people. And they need to understand, be quick to see where they understand our problem. I mean, I would not be talking to somebody who did not understand my disease. And frankly, I wouldn't, for me, this is just me personally, I would not give my fist up away to anybody who hadn't been through this book, for me personally, because they were quick to understand my problem, and especially someone who's closed mouth and understanding. And throughout these paragraphs, somebody mentioned, thank you, Kathleen O, about the must and everything, but also there's what here is about understanding. We want to be able to go to somebody who is understanding our problem, who is an understanding closed mouth friend, if needed be, and someone who will understand and not be affected. That's a very important thing, too, as well. And just that what someone else has talked about, too, is always considerate of others and that we need to be harder on ourselves. And to me, that is just being able to look at my part in a kind and loving way and to be witness, like it says, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. So to me, when I'm listening to a fifth step, I'm just being a witness to this person and their higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Ginger C., you're up next.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And this is one of my favorite sentences in this book, and so grateful for those that do it like this. You know, the rule is we must be hard on ourselves. And why must we? Because as addicts, we lie, we cheat, we steal. And the truth is what's going to set you free. So it's not about, you know, you're doing your best and soft, mushy words to help encourage you or to support you. No, show me where I'm messing up, please. Be honest. Love me enough to show me where I'm going off again into selfish, self-centered ginger. Because I need to get back to this power that I lack. Because if I don't have power between me and the bite, I'm going to eat. And I can't afford a relapse. If I eat today, I don't know if I have another recovery in me. And I am so grateful for someone in particular who always digs deep with me. And it's not easy. You know, the truth will set you free. It may piss you off before, and it may be hard to hear. But thank God we go there. It's like spiritual soul surgery. It's going to the core. It's really seeing me at a depth that I can't see. I'm blocked. And again, I can't afford to bring that food back into my mouth. And if I'm getting sick with secrets, which was part of my MO, that's what I first heard in Virginia Beach. That was one of the biggest things I heard, were those four impediments, and two was like just ding, 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 ding. You know, a secret you will not tell. So thank God we get to finally throw it all up and get honest like we've never gotten honest before. I have never told any psychiatrist or psychologist the whole truth. Absolutely not. I was too afraid. I didn't know what they would think. But these clear-cut directions tell me if I don't go there and I don't do this precisely, I'm not going to have this entire psychic change. And that is the only thing that's going to keep me safe and protected. It's this power that I lack that I need to tap into. And someone just said it so beautifully. When we do dig and we go deep, God comes to us in a greater way. But I have to do this work and I have to follow it completely and be willing to share those things that I may be afraid to. But God, give me that strength and courage to follow through with this work. And I will say, I am so grateful that I did not listen to a message that I heard for 24 years in AA. It said, women work with women and men work with men. And for the first time, I went outside that box and I asked a male to sponsor me. And it has been the greatest miracle and gift of my recovery. So thank God for this book and these clear-cut directions. Simple, simple. Just got to do it a day at a time and get out of the, let God steer again. And thy will be done. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ginger C. All these awesome comments are based on the chapter Into Action in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. On page 73, we started in the third paragraph, which begins, psychologists are inclined to agree. And we're commenting on three paragraphs, which ends with, but always considerate of others. Who would like to comment on these paragraphs?
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Nancy T.
Nancy, is that T as in Tom or P as in Paul?
T as in Tom.
Thank you.
Susan H.
Susan H.
Stacy K.
And Stacy K. Okay, we've got Reggie O, Nancy T, Susan H, and Stacy K. Anybody else before we begin shares? Okay, let's go, Reggie. You'll be followed by Nancy T. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Elaine. Can you hear me?
Very well. Thank you.
Great, great. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O. Very grateful to recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, reading this and listening to people share this morning, I am, like, deeply, deeply touched. And, you know, it just brought back a slew of memories for me. This, you know, honesty is pretty amazing. Rigorous honesty is absolutely amazing. And I was brought back to when I was 4 years old and my first, like, learning of how to be dishonest, which was to protect something and to do something that I had this great conviction about, but I couldn't go against the grown-ups, so I had to find another way. And but you know, as time went on, when I was in high school or early high school, I think it was, my friend was trying to teach me how to lie because I didn't know how to lie. And then when I got my driver's license, you know, and this takes me to the step one, you know, is we're rigorously honest about our food and, you know, and that impacts the correlation of our weight. And from the time I first got to put my weight down on some document, some official document, I would always put my weight down as 2 pounds less than it was. Whatever, for whatever reason, whatever kind of difference that 2 pounds made in my mind, I thought I was, you know, fooling the world, but, you know, it was like I was really fooling myself. And when I came into program, you know, and oh gosh, I don't remember how many years ago first, but honesty to me was not telling a lie, not telling someone something that was untrue. Now, I did do that sometimes, but over time, the ways that I have learned, the things that are dishonest, you know, that we learn in this program, not revealing things we need to reveal, saying things that are untrue, dishonest motives, you know, the list really goes on and on. And it's also quite intimate, you know, and that's something that I have been working with in the past couple of years, you know, is intimacy. And you know, when I'm entirely honest with someone else, that is a deeply intimate place to go. So it's really important for me to do that with someone that that I really, you know, that I trust and that I feel comfortable with. And even then, it's been challenging, you know. And admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, it was hard for me to be honest with God, to be intimate with God, to get down on my knees or sit and say, this is what's, you know, this is what's really true for me. It's, you know, that's been an ongoing process as well. But, you know, I take this to my, you know, 10th steps now, because a 10th step is a, you know, it's the 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, 8 and 9 all wrapped up into one. And 10th steps in the past 3 weeks have literally changed my life, because there were things I yet didn't know but hadn't gotten to in my fourth that just came up that I needed to address. And addressing them with the, you know, with the right person, my sponsor, and, you know, then someone else who spent an enormous amount of time with me, literally allowed me to do things, make decisions that I never could have made before. Thank you so much. And brought me closer to God. So, yeah, just really appreciate, there's not another path, you know, that ever got me to this place. So I'm so grateful for these steps that I've asked.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. Nancy T., you're up next, followed by Susan H.
Thank you. Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. And thank you, everybody, for being on the line this morning. These last few weeks, these paragraphs have really spoken a lot about the honesty required in working these steps. And I just recently started on working the steps through the book exactly as they're written in the instructions, and just last week did my fifth step with my sponsor. And I have to tell you that these paragraphs, especially the second one that we read today, really spoke to me and brought me freedom I've never experienced before in working the steps. And I too have done a lot of fourth and fifth steps over the years. And I'm going to just talk about this one sentence that jumps out at me here today. And that's the beginning of the second paragraph. We must, that's a must, be entirely honest. That means to me 100%, not 95%, with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. And isn't that what I want? I want to be happy. I want to have peace. And I didn't have peace. So I did my fifth step. I left something out. I did the quiet hour afterwards, and my higher power made it very clear to me that this secret that you're not telling needs to be told or you will eat again. I mean, it was just that clear. And I kind of started to push it back like I do. Oh, no, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I'm not willing. And then that same morning, or the very next morning, I got on the phone, and it was the paragraph a couple above there where it says, in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone all their story. And of course the word all was in italics, and somebody on the line even shared when they were sharing on that paragraph, if you're lying, you're dying. I mean, my higher power was speaking to me loud and clear, and I knew I want recovery so bad. I want to be recovered. I want that connection with my higher power. I want the spiritual experience. And I knew that I wasn't going to get it if I didn't get honest, and instead I was going to go back to the disease. And like somebody just shared, I might have another binge in me, but I don't know that I have another recovery in me. And so I called my sponsor that morning. I said, I've got to talk to you about something. And I have to tell you, the experience was amazing. She didn't chastise me. She didn't rebuke me. She didn't judge me. She just walked me through what we needed to do from here. And we talked about it. And from that, and, you know, my lie was about artificial sweeteners, and I gave them up. It was very clear to me. I always told myself, that's not a problem for me. And I know a lot of people, it's not a problem, but I have never been able to get long-term abstinence, not for the long haul. I've gotten periods of time, but never the long haul. And I gave them up. It was really in my head, I thought, you've never lied about green beans. You've never lied about grilled chicken. You're lying about artificial sweeteners. It might be a problem. And I just have to tell you, I have freedom today. I have never been so totally honest in my life, and I have freedom. And I am so grateful that I was willing to push aside my fears of what people might think of me and being judged, and just take the bit by the, just do it. And I followed my lead of my higher power. Thank you so much. I'm grateful for this meeting.
Thank you too, Nancy T. Susan H., you're up next, followed by Stacey K.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for your service. I don't share very often, but this one does hit me. Also, that part, we must be honest. But the hard part I have with that whole honesty thing is that, unfortunately, I'm like a water stick that can find my fault. I had no problem doing my side of the street. In any situation that kind of goes wrong or with people where something feels uncomfortable, it's like white on rice. I mean, I immediately assume I must have messed up somewhere. I must have been dishonest. I must have set this up wrong. I can find self-centered, selfish, the list. And my fourth step was so easy because I found my side everywhere, the problem with that is that it's actually, what I'm learning is that that's dishonest. I have to write and write and write. It's almost like I have to write to get to the core, to get to the real nugget of what the issue is. And I did my first four steps those ways of trying, oh, I lied here. Oh, I was reminding my church upbringing. Oh, I was lied to this person. Oh, I lied to that person. Anyway, the real power for me is in this step is coming to ask for help, to see perspective. I don't get to be the martyr. That's not actually honest. I have to claim I don't know how to say it because actually it's kind of new. I have to claim a balanced thinking. I have to claim a sanity. I have to claim that somebody did hurt me. My mother did say a very mean thing to hurt me. And my response to those things all my life is, oh, she didn't mean it. I deserve that. And therefore, I never speak my truth. I never have to say, mother, that was a mean thing to say. And so actually my journey appears to be learning to stand up for myself, learning to say that this power greater than me is not meant to make me a doormat. I assumed it was. I assumed that's what higher power wants from me, is I'm just supposed to roll over and turn the other cheek and just take whatever people dish out because I'm not worthy to stand up for myself. And poor me now. But anyway, so my true writing generally gets to where I feel vulnerable, where somebody that I need a good relationship with hurt me. And it gets there with my friends too. The real truth, the real dishonesty is that where I just don't want to be vulnerable. And that really, to get to that honest place that I actually am vulnerable is a And so much of my lies and such cover up that I don't want to look or be vulnerable. So that seems to be, and to be vulnerable means to me to be honest about how I feel, even if it's not quite what everybody else is feeling or thinking. And
gentle reminder.
Thanks so much, Curry. All right. So anyway, thank you very much. Thanks for your service.
Pass. Thank you too. Thank you too, Susan H. Thank you so much. Stacey K., you're up next.
Good morning. This is Stacey K., compulsive overeater in Colorado. And so many good things I've heard this morning. I was just thinking about how the desperation that I had kind of drove me through these steps, right? And about what happened along the way as I got to this step. You know, it was like, when I got abstinent, I started feeling better and feeling so grateful to God for my abstinence, you know, and I took the steps. It's like I started to feel better, you know, physically, and, you know, started to, you know, just feel mentally and spiritually better as I proceeded. Even when I took the fourth step, I remember going, oh, it just felt right to get all that down
And I looked forward, at least this last time through, I looked forward to, let's do it. Let's go faster. And because I knew that with every step of the way, I would feel better. You know, I thought it felt great to get abstinent. But then, you know, as I went through each of the steps, and then even the four steps, such a relief to get, you know, already feeling better to get it down on paper. Then to get to tell somebody else, it's like, yeah. And then those fifth step promises come, right? We're going to read about later. It's amazing. And that continues as I continue, because every day is a day, right? I get to continue to practice and continue to just, you know, get closer to God. And, you know, even through challenges, you know, they suck sometimes. And it can be hard. You know, even 10-step work can be really hard work and can be really deep, you know, because we're going to continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And we can't do that without good work in 10, 11, and 12. And so I keep learning and I keep growing, and I'm just so grateful. So if you're having a hard time and you're thinking, you know, the fifth step's very scary, just, you know, maybe think about what's coming, you know, the promises that get to come with that, you know. And that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stacey K. Okay, so we're commenting on three paragraphs on page, starting on page 73 with the third paragraph. It begins with psychologists are inclined to agree, and ending three paragraphs later with but always considerate of others. We have time for 3 2.5 minute shares. Who'd like to comment on this?
Penny C.
Penny C. And I heard Jody. Is it was that who? Julie.
Donna W.
Just barely hear you, Julie, and Donna W. So if you all go just a little under 3 minutes, then I think we can. We're closer to 2.5 minutes or so. I think we can fit you all in. So please go ahead, Penny C.
Hi, thank you, Elaine. I'm not able to time, so I appreciate it if you stop me when it's time. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Boston area, and someone mentioned earlier on this meeting about Virginia Beach and the first convention of a Vision for You, as we had it down there. And these paragraphs really do remind me in a kind of different way. The last sentence, the rule is we must be hard on ourselves but always considerate of others. Those of us who were there might remember that between speakers and while people were gathering for the next session, we had a little game of Jeopardy, and people that wanted to be contestants would put their name in a basket, and the very end, my name was picked out along with three others. And the prize of what I have in my possession now is a copy of the first edition of the Big Book, exactly the way it was published and on the same kind of paper. It's very large and very heavy. And you can understand why they called it the Big Book then, because it's much heavier. And so the question was, we filled in the blanks, and John Kay read, the rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always. And when it came my turn, the others didn't say it correctly. It just popped out of my mouth. What is considerate of others? And I won the book. And I didn't know how did that come to me? I guess because I've studied the Big Book so much, but I was surprised myself. And that's so important, that I be considerate of others all the time, no matter where or when I find myself, what I'm doing, especially when I'm doing the fifth step. I have to be careful, and I made a mistake once in doing the 10th step of asking a woman to listen to my 10th step, realizing that she was friends with the person that I resented. And thank God she finally stopped me and said, you know, I'm friends with that woman and I really don't think I'm the right person to talk to. So, yeah, we really, really must be.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll end right there. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, Penny C. Okay, so Julie E.B., you're up next.
Hi, this Julie. Is Julie E.B. Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Julie. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered by the grace of God today in Colorado. And one of the things that I just loved in listening to these paragraphs is the promise that had come true for me. You know, there's a promise that we can find someone quick to see and understand, someone who understands my addiction. And what's the difference? The difference is before, as the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, I'm living under constant fear and tension because I can't even speak the truth to myself, much less speak it to another. And suddenly, as I do what's most difficult for me, I take a step forward of just saying, of risking, of trusting, before myself, before my higher power, and then before another person, of practicing the whole idea that maybe I'm not terminally unique, maybe other people have struggled with the same thing, maybe I can look at just my part and clean up my side of the street instead of trying to live in the garbage. And there's something so powerful. I had a loving and have a loving and understanding sponsor who just encourages me and points to things and says, yeah, I had that too. Their vulnerability and their ability to care, quick to see and understand, someone who understands my disease and the dishonesty of it. And even if I'm not all the way there, the first time I share my fourth step and the 10th step continues to show me more and more things, I no longer have to live under constant fear and tension. And the fear and tension is because I know the truth somewhere down deep inside. When I'm not living straight, when I have a part, when I'm being defensive and saying it's the other person's fault, but inside I'm wondering, is everything my fault? Is nothing my fault? Here's a chance to take inventory and straighten it out and let go of those products. So I just appreciate, I give gratitude to God today for my sponsor, for so many sponsors, and for other people who have taken these steps throughout the decades that are quick to see and understand. What a gift, what a blessing it is to be seen and understood and cared about and just be another bozo on the bus growing and unfolding. And that's what I've got. Thanks for letting me share today.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie E.B. And Donna W., you'll be our last share today.
Hi, this is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be abstinent and in recovery today. And, you know, as I've been working my program, I am seeing more how I am dishonest. I used to think, I'm not dishonest, I'm an honest person. And I see how I can just even be so dishonest with myself. An example, last night, the ordered dinner, it came. There was an ingredient in it that doesn't work for me, but I was tired and hungry and didn't want to make a fuss. And I'm suffering the consequences from that decision last night. So I was dishonest. And just seeing how, you know, things like I'm dishonest about my capabilities, that I'm often, I don't trust myself, and I'm dishonest about that. I'm dishonest about, you know, the food and working with my program sometimes, etc. So that's when I look at my part, am I dishonest? Am I self-seeking? Am I frightened? Dishonesty comes up a lot. So that's just wanted to mention that, you know, that's an area I get to look at today is all that dishonesty, the very kind of subtle, quiet, insidious dishonesty I have that, you know, that I don't even know that I'm lying, but that very quiet denial that's blocking me from recovery. So I'm grateful I get to look at that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And we have another minute and a half if anybody has a burning desire.
Jordan L.
Go ahead, Jordan L. Please go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. My name is Jordan now. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. And I was just listening, everyone shares, and I love this line. I love having a place to go. And, like, I don't have to say anything, and I just know I'm amongst my fellows. But anyway, I was just thinking about this idea of rigorous honesty and all these people sharing all these thoughts on the fifth step. And I just wanted to say, like, to the newcomer who, I don't know, maybe hasn't fifth stepped yet or has and it didn't work, or I don't know, there's a million different storylines out there, that all these people that are talking, they didn't like, they have thoughts to share on their fifth step afterwards, but they did not think their way through this. I cannot think my way through this. Like, this is truly an exercise of no thinking and just doing. And, like, the only way to get through this is to walk. That's it. There's, like, no other special answer or anything like that. You just walk through it. That's all I wanted to say, so thanks.
Okay, Jordan, thank you very, very much. Jordan L. and everybody who shared, we'll now transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ginger C. please read A Vision for You on page 164?
Okay, Elaine, I'm getting the book. Ginger C., Recovered Compulsive Overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in the morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.